League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This year, we are sponsored by Harry's. Harry's are the US shaving company coming over to the UK hoping to make a big impact. You go to harrys.com/Tottenham. You can get your trial set for just £3.95. That will usually cost you £11.95. In that trial set, you get a razor handle in a colour of your choice. There's three colours that you can pick from. A precision engineered blade, some shaving foam, a travel cover. All comes in a nice handy little box that looks great when you get it through your door. Dan and I have both subscribed to it because it fits our needs, because you can tell them how often you need a refill, be it 1, 3, or 6 months apart. Again, go to harrys.com/Tottenham, get your trial set for £3.95. It really helps Harry's and it really helps keep the Tottenham way free.
We were saying beforehand that it's been a year, almost to the week, since you guys were last on.
Yes, really? It was pre-Leicester last season we were on last, and before the Liverpool Cup game.
Yes, it was before.
Post-Bournemouth, rubbishy 0-0.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then we had the rubbishy draw at Leicester at White Hart Lane.
Oh, God, I was happy to about that.
Miserable day.
Yeah.
That was right in the middle of our 11 game. I don't think we won in 11 games, and that was when we really messed up the Champions League.
Yeah.
Didn't mess up the league. We just had to watch Vincent Janssen for a while, didn't we? Which was
a
shame.
A difference a year makes.
Exactly. Yeah, quite right. We should
in
say
so many ways.
Yes, we will come on to that towards the end of it. But for those who don't know, you are Kath and Rosa, who we've had on, what, 3 or 4 times?
This is our 4th time.
Is it number 4?
Yep.
That is well remembered. Yeah. You always seem to come on after. Well, you started coming on after really good results because we had that
a little bit of a dip last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fine. You're returning to form.
There you go.
Exceptional form.
Yeah. You coined or helped coin the phrase Dembelievers as well on this very podcast.
That's us, which we remain.
Yep.
I was going to say, it doesn't change, does it?
No. God, no.
Well, we're going to start with a question then. We should say that Dan's on holiday because he's a dirty, stinking flounce.
Oh, he's on holiday.
Yeah, I know. It's International Week, so he's decided to go away. I think he's in Devon, but he's probably not listening. He never listens back to the ones that he's not on.
His whole life is a holiday.
Exactly. Dare he. Right, we'll start with a question from Philip at Single Malt Suds, who is of this parish. Simply, is Dembele finished?
I mean, love you, Phil, but...
I love you, but he knew he was getting into dangerous territory with us and this question. I mean, the answer is no.
No, I don't think he's finished. He might be slowly...
dying.
No.
I mean, we're all managing slowly dying, so that's fair enough.
Is it Philip Larkin? Yes.
Yeah. Highbrow podcast.
Yeah, you see, that's when we come back.
Yeah. I think Dembele's just got to be looked after, basically.
Yeah.
He's just like an exceptional work of art, really, that you just have to take care of.
Yep.
You have to use special fluids to clean him.
You do. So, volunteers?
I mean, to play devil's avocado here, he's struggled for minutes this season.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He has played, I don't think he's played more than one league game. He's certainly not played more than two.
No.
From the start. He's been used kind of sparingly in the cups. Mm-hmm. I think towards the end of last season, Poch was saying he's like 75% or something like that. Dembele was saying in interviews that he's playing in pain. I mean, is he the new Ledley King? Like, is he somebody that... Because he's obviously got so much quality. Is he someone that you bring in purely to...
It feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like something like that, that he's just got to train according to his...
And we have to adjust our expectations.
Exactly. Because we were used to him being so important and so... You know, so sublime in the midfield there that we just have to.
I mean, the Dembeliever experience has been quite a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Because if I think back to 2 years ago, and we were saying like this, like he's just becoming the player that we knew believed he would be. But even then, like, nobody thought that then he was going to go on to become like an absolute linchpin of the Pochettino team, really. And then, and so we kind of had that experience that we didn't expect. And now we're sort of dipping back. And I'm not going to lie, I've been disappointed by how little he's played this season. I understand why, but I mean, just to think of the midfield last season that was Dembele and Wanyama, I also love and I'm also highly concerned about.
Yeah, because that's going on and on, isn't it?
Yeah. But every season there's a new, I think we've mentioned it on here before, every season there's been a new midfield too. Poch has either had to adapt or decided, you know, one or two aren't good enough or need to be moved on or aren't going to get the minutes that required. And it just, I mean, we mentioned Ledley King there. The difference, I suppose, is when King was out, the difference was that we had, well, a cacophony of crimes in his place until probably the very end when we started to see the emergence of people like Cabal and Gallas. But this time we've got, and we will come on to him, but Winks coming in for him is just, it doesn't look like we're losing anything from not having Dembele in the side. So I guess that's... Well,
okay, I think you always lose from not having Dembele because I think, like, I agree, Winks is excellent and he's so much better than I thought he was. Like, I really have been surprised and delighted by him. But I think Dembele is still just a one-of-a-kind player, really. Yeah, and you bring something different. You're always going to lose. And that's what you get when you have a player like that. And so you have to accept that things are going to look different.
I suppose. I mean, if nothing else, if Dembele doesn't play a single minute again this season, I'm not for 1 minute hoping or saying it will happen. But he did give us maybe my favourite memory of this or maybe any season so far that isn't a win or a goal, which was absolutely going through Sergio Ramos, which is I appreciate another sore subject for you.
No, I'm fine with it.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
It was an amazing part of the match.
It was. I mean, Sergio Ramos, like I love him even though he's completely evil. Like he's a true master of all the dark arts, and yet I can't help loving him. But I will still always enjoy that moment when Dembele just sides him down.
That was brilliant.
There's an amazing picture, which I think I don't know if I tweeted. I think certainly like the Fighting Cop tweeted it out. Of it's Dembele just as the bit where his foot is at like full extension going through Ramos and he's in the air. But in the background, you've got this sort of crumpled Toni Kroos.
Oh, yes, because you've gone through him first.
And it is Moussa, isn't it? It's so perfectly Moussa Dembele because it's just this wake of other midfielders.
Yeah, he's our avenging angel, isn't he?
Because
got Costa 1 year, Ramos the next.
That's very true.
Fighting evil wherever he is. Finds it.
That's very true. For such a graceful player, he's quite a battering ram as well, isn't he, at times. Well, we need to talk about Real Madrid because it's hard to believe it was nearly a week ago. I mean, ridiculous. It's still ridiculous to think about it. You know, in context, we'd had a disappointing week against West Ham and then against Man United at Old Trafford, and you just looked at it and thought, this could be the worst possible time to play him. But this is kind of what Spurs do, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a way of like heightening a really good result by being a bit shit for 2 weeks beforehand. But you were both there, weren't you?
We were.
We were sat next to each other. Going completely delirious.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience.
I mean, I feel like I've seen some amazing games, but I'm not sure I've ever seen anything.
No, it's my favourite by a long way.
What would even come?
Well, the obvious comparison that people are going for at the moment is Inter Milan.
Yeah.
And on the Tottenham Way Twitter straight afterwards, I put a tweet out and said, what do people prefer? And I think it probably should have waited till the next day, really, because I think it was still sinking in for a lot of people. And Real Madrid was overwhelmingly the winner. I think it was 75-25 split, which I thought was a bit too extreme.
Possibly, yeah, because that was amazing as well. But
and when you think of how good we are now, and I appreciate Real Madrid are a completely different force to what Inter Milan were at the time, but we would still have that capacity to be complete crap.
Yeah.
And the team that we put out against Inter Milan was quite bad, whereas I can't think of a single member of the 11 that would probably get in apart from Bale. I mean, even you look at Modric, but I think...
I mean, except we started against Real Madrid with Moussa Sissoko, who, although has been way, way, much way better, than anyone had any right to expect.
That's
I mean,
true.
You're right, it's not the level of the Spurs that played Inter Milan. I think the difference with those games is that with Inter Milan, it's sort of, it's two games, isn't it, really, that people tend to conflate, I think, and like actually, like, hilariously, like, The Guardian did a thing the other day, and there was, like, you know, 10 great, like, group stage games in the Champions League, and they used the Inter 3-1, and they said, oh, Bale's amazing hat-trick, and I was like, no, his hat-trick was actually the one we lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it felt like a victory, but we did actually lose that game.
You do feel so nerdy to be, but it's like,
actually,
you're quite right, I think, actually.
I think, you know, a little bit of fact-checking at The Guardian is going to go a bit, but that's fine, we're here for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like the Real Madrid game was both of those games, in a way, like both of those, like all of that glorious feeling, like in one incredible, we're not supposed to do this. Like, there's no way we're supposed to
do this. I mean, drawing at the Bernabeu was amazing enough. That night was amazing too. It's like, well, goodness me, we've held our own there. What can we do at Wembley? Well, it doesn't really matter. But then,
well, it's interesting you mentioned Wembley, because I think the thing that a lot of people have said really swings it for them on that Inter Milan versus Real Madrid thing is that it was at White Hart Lane. So, and I was mentioned that you both went. Does a result like that, considering in particular, it wasn't long ago we were still talking about the Wembley hoodoo, and people still don't like it, and for reasons that I completely understand. But does a result like that help everything along, just a bit more, just to make it feel like, or do you pine for White Hart Lane a little bit more?
I think you can't help but think it would be even more amazing had it been at White Hart Lane. I think that probably goes without saying, but it was, Wembley was
the sheer numbers of people, that's the thing.
The noise was incredible, and I mean, the Liverpool game was, I thought the atmosphere, we were together for that as well, the atmosphere for that was great as well, but it was another level, I think.
It was special. Else. I miss White Hart Lane for sure. But I do feel like, you know, and Wembley's crap, isn't it? Like, it just is.
Yeah,
like,
it's not.
But what it can deliver on is when you've got all of those people. Like, what was it? It was like,
it was, I think, 80,000.
Crazy amounts of people. All Spurs fans watching that. And that's something that, you just, White Hart Lane, lovely as it was, could not. I mean, it was just a spectacle, really. So White Hart Lane is kind of small and special, but this was huge.
Huge it was. You felt like the eyes of the world were on us as well.
Yeah.
So it might not have been at White Hart Lane in quite the same way, I think, maybe. Because now, do you know what I mean? It just sort of,
and there
there would have been people there that weren't Spurs fans or Real Madrid. I mean, the Madrid fans were rubbish as well.
There's something about how that, you know, Madrid kind of swaggering into Wembley as well. That's the kind of arena they're used to. That's the stage they're used to. Yeah. They're like, oh, we own this. And what happens in the end is you get Christian Eriksen scoring a goal as Luka Modric desperately tries to stop him.
Yeah.
I was like, farewell, Ghost of Christmas Park.
I mean, maybe, if anything, not enough has been made of the fact that we did this at Wembley. It seems to have been, oh, well, we were talking about how bad we were, and then we did it. But it should be, maybe people should be giving us a bit more credit, considering, like you say, this is Real Madrid's stage.
Yeah.
And somebody said Ronaldo's been to Wembley 17 times and won 16 of them or something, which seems ridiculous to me. How can he possibly have done that? I thought the exact same thing. I don't know if BT got it wrong, but I definitely heard that on the commentary.
Because Madrid had never played at Wembley, how could he possibly have been that many times with United
and Portugal?
Then Portugal, really?
Maybe. I mean, Wembley's been open for like 10 years. I mean, it doesn't matter. But like,
we're getting pretty nerdy here.
Yeah, we are so great.
I enjoyed seeing him kick the post a few times. For sure.
I enjoyed seeing him clear off our line. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
but Tongan getting.
To be fair, he seems the only one who took us seriously. Really, and Isco looks like a really good player, but the way that Kroos, Modric and Casemiro in particular played, and we mentioned him earlier, but Winks, he is incredible, and I think that. You saw how he played against Liverpool on his own, essentially. I know Ali was sort of dropping him, but Ali is naturally that forward-thinking player. Mm-hmm. But Winks has now held his own against Liverpool's midfield, in inverted commas. Real Madrid away, alongside Eric Dier.
Yeah, it was great.
And at home to Real Madrid. And he's not just held his own. He's not just sort of put in one of those performances that looks like, I don't know, like Palacios used to. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was shift, but he didn't have anything about him. Yeah. Winks controlled large parts of that game, and it's just, it is so exciting
very
to watch him. Yeah, it's very exciting to watch him.
Yeah, even I think that now.
Yeah.
And I was not a Winks believer for a long time, for various reasons, but... I think he's really.
It's hard to argue with it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because that when you say the Madrid midfield, it's ridiculous.
Mm.
Like Harry Winks had no business
bossing them,
basically, but he did.
Yeah, absolutely. Said mentioned about Ali. It's very much a return to form. Two goals, which and on his Champions League return as well. It kind of felt like that stage was set for him really a little bit, didn't it?
And he really stepped up to it. He loved it. He loved that game.
And that first goal was very Dele Alli, a very Dele Alli goal as well. Just sort of while everyone's being drifted away to another area of the pitch, he's finding that little area of space, and he did because Trippier put a ball across earlier that went right across goal, and Ali was the closest to that again.
Clocked it and was like, I'm going to be there.
It is, isn't it? It's game management, which is something that I think that we've all mentioned about Pochettino needing, and the team and the players in general kind of needing to recognise. And before, you looked at it and gone, oh, that was the chance. But you know there's going to be one more. And it was just, I mean, it was just a wave in the end, wasn't it?
It's amazing, but that is the sort of amazing thing about Spurs now, isn't it? Because you think the chances come and they get missed, and you think, oh shit, that's it. We've done, like, we can't.
Yeah.
This isn't going to happen now. But this team somehow is like, that chance has come. That chance is going to come again. Even though you think, how could a team like Real Madrid just let us have that chance again? Yeah, but we'd made it, so it didn't matter. Yeah.
And I guess, and what's great now is you look at. If it's not Ali, it's Kane. You know, if Ali's maybe off form, which, you know, obviously he wasn't, but Ali misses that chance or something, and you know you've still got a 70-80% Kane, who was brilliant again.
Kane was extraordinary.
Yeah,
he really was. Because he clearly was not fit, and he was. But we talked about it in the first half that he was like clearly playing like within himself.
Yeah.
And we were joking about it, and I was, you know, we were saying it's fine. He's just laying a trap for Madrid. Yeah. And he's going to turn it on. But that kind of ended up being true.
True, yeah, it did.
His strength is unbelievable, really. And I feel like you saw how exceptional he is now when Llorente came on. And I like Llorente a lot. But Harry Kane is not only strong, he just makes chances for himself out of absolutely nothing. Like, Llorente will hold the ball up really well and lay it off, as he did at the Bernabeu, right?
Yep.
But Kane will just get the ball.
Everything he does is
away,
forward.
Yeah, turn exactly. around, yeah. accelerate
muscle everybody
away.
Off him.
Yeah.
Muscle, like,
it's always
shrug
several,
off, like,
exactly.
three different players, and still somehow either create a chance for someone like Eriksen, or get a shot away for himself.
Yeah.
And the only other person, you know, you watch Ronaldo, and in those two games, there'd be times I was like, I don't understand how he still managed to get a shot away.
Yeah.
And Kane's like
that. Kane's like that. His ball to Eriksen for the third goal was just
unbelievable.
Just there was a tiny pause that he did.
Yeah.
And it could have gone earlier, but he was just not in the right position. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we knew it, but there's so many of these fans that will say, you know, he's not done it in the big games and whatever. The guy's been incredible in every Champions League game that we've had. And I say, everything he does is forwards. And when you consider that he's not actually got, it's not a weakness, but the one thing he does lack is pace. But you'd think that somebody like that would be conservative, like Llorente. You know, his entire career, he's not built a career out of pace. He could easily put his back to goal and find somebody. Kane's first fall every single time is get us 10, 15 yards up the
pitch.
And
he's always there.
Yeah.
Even at the back, defend. You know, he's he's always there.
It's amazing. Mm. Like, what is it like to be Harry Kane?
Unbelievable. It's difficult to pick individuals out, even though we kind of have, but there's loads of individuals that we could say were brilliant. But anyone in particular you think really did stand out? A lot of people saying Trippier.
Trippier was good.
I mean, for me,
I like him, but I just, on a big night like that, I just think it's Kane. Dele. Is everything.
Kane and Dele.
Really.
Yeah.
Not
and Eriksen.
Not the Belgian prince at the back.
Oh, Jan. Yeah, Jan had a good game.
Actually, good point.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
I think
Jan's been amazing this season, and as well he was last season too.
I
was almost when Toby went off. I wasn't. I mean, obviously, you didn't want to see him go off. But you weren't. But I wasn't worried. No, whereas a couple of seasons ago, it'd be like, oh my God, Toby's off because he.
Well, do you remember when he got that injury?
About this time.
Last year.
We were all completely devastated.
But that's it. The league's gone.
And you know, partly that is Sanchez, of course.
Yes.
But Jan big part of it is that Jan is just that. You know, this is his final form, isn't it? Mm. He's just now the defender he was always meant to be, the defender he wanted to be. He's just in charge completely.
And now fully engaged as well. You can tell that if anything, I think we've maybe underplayed just how much of a success story Jan Vertonghen has been under Pochettino. We talk of Kane and Ali and Eriksen being developed as a player. Dembele you mentioned there as well. All the players that we've signed in generally, for the most part, that have done very, very well. But I think Vertonghen is up there for one of the most complete improvements that Pochettino's made in that team.
He was like a sulky, disaffected teenager, basically, wasn't he?
Which he used to do beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, which we love, you know, to see the sort of like hashtag body language. Yeah. And he is hilarious, but because he just lets all of his feelings. Like, there's a man who cannot hide his feelings, which is partly why we love him. But he was so not on board with Spurs after the first year with AVB. After that, he was just like, I don't care, I'm sick of this. And even, you know, at times with Fazio, bless him, you could see Jan thinking, what am I doing here?
Yeah, like Loris in those first couple of years. You know?
Well, this is it. Like when Hugo talked, when there's that bit in Pochettino's book, right, where Hugo says, you know, this wasn't, after a couple of years, I realised this wasn't the club I thought I was coming to.
Yeah.
You think Jan definitely thought that.
Do you think they sit round sometimes with, you know, on off season with a glass of wine, those two or three of them that have been around for a few years and just...
Look how far we've come.
Look how far we've come.
Do you know what? Bless them. I hope so.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pretend they do.
We'll go around to Hugo's house.
They do what we're doing now, which is sharing a big bottle of red. So we need a win to top the group. If we beat Apoel at home, it's done. It's all done and dusted, which is insane. And the biggest, probably the one main improvement of last season, I think Dan's mentioned it a few times, where Pochettino very rarely makes mistakes two seasons in a row. You know, you look at the back end of the season before last against, horrible to bring it up, but Southampton and Newcastle.
Yeah.
And then the season after, we spanked Leicester and Hull 6-1 and 7-1 respectively. Yeah. Just things like that where he's learning, and he's a young coach and a young manager as well, with a young team that, if anything, he's getting younger. Like, bringing in someone like Sanchez to do what he's doing. He's learning, and it feels like it can't be long until that one big final step is taken. And it may not be this season, but it is so exciting.
It'd be incredible if it was, really, given where, you know, that we're at Wembley and everything. I don't think it will be.
Yeah, Wembley feels like a lesson we still have to learn a little bit. I mean, even though we've done it in the Champions League, I feel like it's still... there are still going to be problems. Like, every team who's not a sort of big team is going to come and try to defend.
Yeah.
And although they did do that at White Hart Lane, we had sort of worked it out by then, and I feel like that's going to be a work in progress, really, at Wembley.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of thing where you're right, like, everything changes from season to season. Even, like, you know, the first season where we shipped a hilarious number of goals, and what our goal difference was like zero, only because Kane and Eriksen scored loads. And so it just makes me feel like it's crazy, but I actually think we might win something really big. Oh my God, did I just say that out loud?
Yeah, yeah. But why not as well? Why? There is no reason to think it. Because the next lesson to learn is, don't dick about in the transfer window and lose three games before you've started.
Yeah.
You know, we're now 8 points?
Start of the season was annoying.
We're now 8 points behind City. You know, who knows? And
all right, but they've bought the league.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, they've bought the league and then they usually mess it up. They should be winning the league every single season.
That's true.
Just need one season where it's
and it all goes right. And this time last year, weren't they way ahead? Not way ahead, but they hadn't lost any games.
Until they played us. It's very true. But yeah,
but then he looked better this season, though.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Even I think it's disgusting, and as you both know, I do still love Pep. I can't help it, I'm sorry.
You just love bastards, don't you?
Ramos,
a little bit. A little
I'm not
going
to say the other one.
Ollie.
Oh, yeah.
We mentioned injuries there. We've just had, before we started recording, I think it was the Mirror, they pointed out that Kane and Winks were as good as pulling out of the England squad. I think that's been confirmed now.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Okay,
as long as the injuries are not serious and therefore that he can just rest
of
and
course.
Recuperate, it's a good thing, I think.
We're looking at some guys that are playing with a manager who takes a lot of pride in his charges becoming full international, particularly with England, it seems. It does seem like it's not a freak that Pochettino has brought through, 15 of the last 18 debutants or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He does take a lot of pride in that, but I think that he's got to start looking at it and think, because there are other injuries at Spurs at the moment.
And, yeah.
You know, just in the last 2 weeks, we've got Kane, Ali, Winks, Alderweireld and Lloris, adding to...
Yeah. And Vorm, apparently,
And Vorm, of course, yeah. Adding to already Wanyama and Dembele's ongoing concerns. Eric Lamela being, raised from the dead, and he's apparently training again. So, it's about time that we started putting ourselves first, isn't it? And whether this is a Pochettino decision or not, if this is either one of Winks or Kane looking at it and going, you know what, it's two friendlies, I'm not that fast.
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
I think so. And I feel like if England had a manager who wasn't Gareth Southgate, who is certain to play Kane and Wings
for 90 minutes
in both games, like, you just, like, it's what he does.
Yeah.
He doesn't have respect the other way.
Yeah.
Then I think if Pochettino felt like he could have more of a dialogue with the England coach, it would probably... I'm totally speculating.
Yeah, you can trust them.
But it just it seems that way to me, and I think he's just probably thought, I know what this guy's going to do. Mm. I'm not risking my players. I feel quite bad for Winks because...
Yeah, because he was so excited. Chance, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, I disagree. I think he's in. I think
do you reckon?
Yeah.
I think he should be, but people are ridiculous. And
And Southgate's awful. But
Madrid maybe helped, you know, the games that he's played recently.
Yeah, he's not put a foot wrong this season.
Hasn't.
I really can't see. There's nobody else in England as an English player that can do what he does now to the level that he's been doing it recently. I think he's in. I maybe not in the first team. He might do one of those where he goes and then he plays the second game because we start with Dyer and Henderson against fucking Slovakia or something like that and draw 0-0.
That's 100%
going to be what it is.
Isn't it? Yeah, and he'll play a blinder and that'll be it for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. He's in. But I think he's done. And I think he's now seen as relatively nearly as important as Kane.
I hope so.
Do you think maybe Pochettino's... So you're both parents, right? So and discipline is obviously a very big part of that. Do you think Pochettino's done the equivalent of, you know, when you're driving somewhere and the kids are sort of acting up in the back and it's just like, and he's just turned around and he's just like, look, if you keep picking, then there'll be no more England players for anyone. And he's just like refusing to train people like Carl Walker-Peters to say, he won't play for England, Gareth. I won't let him play. Do you think there's any element of
could
that?
Be.
I could fully believe it at Pochettino because he basically is like everybody's dad.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, he'd sit Southgate down as well.
No, he would. Yeah. With Tony at his side as well. It's sort of extra added threat.
My two dads.
Yeah. we have had a bit of a spate of injuries. And so we mentioned Wembley, and Wembley... The half the reason everyone was worried about Wembley is it being this differently sized pitch, a lot bigger. Is there maybe, I mean, none of us really know, we're not physios or doctors or anything, but do we think there's any element in it? Because there's hammies. I know Winks got a knock,
there seems
didn't
to
he?
Be a lot of hamstring.
Lloris has got a thigh.
His groin, wasn't it?
A groin, yeah.
Because he got knocked on at the Madrid game, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, wasn't that just because Sergio Ramos just like ran straight into him?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly.
Villain.
That's why Dembele went...
Yeah, full Dembele.
Avenging angel.
Yeah, but Kane obviously felt his hamstring after... Yeah. It was during Liverpool, wasn't it, towards the end of that game.
Yeah.
Alderweireld. And these all happened at Wembley as well. So, and this was... Alderweireld, all he did was sort of step out of defence.
He was trying to be Jan.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't he? He was surging forward.
Yeah, don't like try Jan. And get your way
See,
back
exactly.
In,
just
sign your contract.
Yes, exactly. Sit down, let Jan
sign
do it.
Contract.
Yeah, it is exactly. a bit...
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it maybe too easy to say that?
Possibly.
But, I mean, don't we... This is sort of the time in the season where we start to get a few injuries as well, isn't it? I feel like this happened last. Didn't, like...
Yeah, Tony, it was Kane.
And they were much worse at touch.
Yeah. But they were knocks, weren't they? They were... So Kane got his ankle caught under him because of a tackle that he was making, I think.
Yeah. And then Toby got that freak.
That was not. That was nasty. That lasted a while,
didn't it? He collided with somebody. Yeah, he had a weird
after which he's
one.
Not been the same player.
He hasn't.
No, quite right. Yeah, it's... Maybe it is a timing thing. Maybe we're looking into it a little bit too much. But
I mean, I believe anything bad of Wembley, really, because
Yeah.
Not a great place.
How many more games have we got there? You've got...
Yeah, I do a countdown. Yeah. I think we're now looking at... I think it's 14 league games.
It's not too bad,
ish.
Is it?
Yeah, we've had five. Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's not the football, is it? Because the football can be great, because it has been. Liverpool and Real Madrid are two of our best performances. Yeah.
And the atmosphere.
Can be really good. Incredible. And wherever you sit as well, okay, like I sit quite high up when I go, but it's get a good view, to be fair.
It's just walking up, hearing music pumped. Yeah. There's no chance for an atmosphere to get going outside the ground, which is so important.
But it also kills the atmosphere afterwards. Like after Liverpool, when I was stuck on Wembley Way for an hour...
Yeah,
I could feel the joy like draining from my body.
It wasn't so bad after Real Madrid, was it? Mind you, we bumped into your dad after that.
That's true. My dad was bouncing off the walls. Actually, he will never forgive me if I don't say this, because he was like, I've been a Spurs supporter for he's like going on 60 years now, my dad, and he has never experienced a night like that. He says it's up there with the best he's ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
He was beside himself.
He was. He was genuinely jumping up. Like, he doesn't jump up and down, but he really did.
We attracted a small audience, didn't we? There was just a couple of these joining in.
Could have made some money out of it. That's, I mean, yeah, quite rightly as well, isn't it? I thought you were going to say he'd never forgive me if I don't say this, but happy birthday, because it is his birthday today.
Also, it's his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well done. Third on the agenda. Yes, okay, well, let's talk about Crystal Palace, because is there a more sort of Spursy...
No.
Well, no, so, I was going to ask a different question. Is this the new Spursy,
right?
Yeah. We beat Real Madrid 3-1, and then we struggle against the worst team in the division on paper.
Yeah.
But we still win. Now, that's the flip.
That's
of
the
Spurs,
difference.
Isn't it?
In the past, you wouldn't have banked on us winning necessarily.
Because when we beat again Inter Milan 3-1, we went to Bolton at the weekend and we lost 4-2.
Yeah, Pav
scored an absolute belter of a volley, which is all I need from a game, to be honest. But yeah, we lost 4-2, and I remember it being a big thing of just like. They obviously just sort of turned it on for this enormous game and stuff. But we did grind it out, and it wasn't pretty. But, you know, other teams do that, and they get all the plaudits, don't they?
It's managing, isn't it? And they did look, especially in the first half, they did look knackered, to be honest, and was pretty dull.
It
was very slow. I felt they were holding back. Crystal Palace would have been a lot of the... running around, I guess they had to.
It was just such a stodgy, horrible game, wasn't it? I mean, I missed quite a lot of it for various baby-related reasons, and I'm not really sorry about it.
I didn't go. I watched it.
I was there.
It was only about 60,000, wasn't it? Which, to be fair, isn't bad for a midday Sunday kickoff.
Exactly, it was midday.
And hilarious that we're saying that, only about 60,000.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. Yeah. It was not bad. I mean, the atmosphere was pretty flat, obviously, and Crystal Palace had their Bundesliga light. Jumping up and down and drums things.
They brought a firework, didn't they?
Well, I don't know. They thought something went off.
Right.
Towards the end, a big bang, but there was no smoke or.
So you're telling me that I have to turn up at Wembley an hour early to have my keys prodded around in my pocket, and they can get a fucking firework.
Certainly there was something anyway.
That's not on in my opinion. No. I mean, Ali was obviously ruled out quite early on. So we had to change things around. Son come in, which was a light for light. We'll get onto Son in a bit. But it was the return of Daniel Rose, wasn't it? First league start in 11 months since his injury. Strong views on this. We'll start with a question on it. Stephen on Twitter asks, is Rose now understudy for Davis for the... Well, what he's called minor matches. I mean, we've got to take this in context, haven't we?
Yeah.
Davis has had an excellent start to the season in the big and minor games. He's not just filling in. He's definitely part of the progress of a of our football. He gets himself forward. He's scored two goals. So with everything that's surrounding Rose at the moment in a football sense, and by that I mean his fitness, because he's clearly a bit puddy-puddy, so he's not...
As I said earlier, at one point in the game, he was quite clearly having a little extra run around to himself. It was like, bless him. I mean, you know, I'm not keen on the lad anymore, but still, it's like, work.
It's not a thing we've made up, is it? He's genuinely carrying something, isn't he?
Which you would be, I suppose. He hasn't played football properly for, was it 9 months now?
11, yeah, it was January when he went out. So, so it's been a while. I mean, how did you think he did? So, Kath, you went.
He had a decent game, I thought. I thought he was, and I've forgotten how quick he was. I think you said, you know, he was good.
No, I think he was good. Slower than he was, but I was quite impressed.
And he made a few good crosses and a few good chances. He missed a sitter as well, didn't he? Was it a header or was it at one point he really was like, okay. But, you know, I thought he was quite positive. He was obviously up for it, which was good to see.
Is your opinion of him positive? So let's go from a non-footballing sense. Do you think he's got to be part of the squad,
He's still got work to do, as far as I'm concerned, to shed that snaky skin. But I think he may, you know, in terms of playing, as long as he plays well, continues to get better, then let's see.
But ahead of Davis?
Not at the moment. What you said earlier, I think, is like 100%. Right?
Yeah.
He's clearly, like, on current form, he is clearly second choice.
Yeah.
Like, the Rose that was, like, last season, is not here anymore. He may come back, but right now that's not. And Davis is far, far, far better than he was. So right now...
Davis would be first choice.
In 2 weeks we've got Arsenal in the North London derby away from home. If you were to ask to pick on current form between Davis and Rose, it would be Davis right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
I mean, you look back in the past at games against Arsenal, you think, well, Danny Rose loves that. But things have changed.
I really, like, in non-footballing terms, I sort of veer between thinking, you know, get that snake out of my club, and feeling a bit sorry for him, really, because I feel like he probably went a bit mad when he was injured for so long, and my sort of feeling about it is that he, you know, he probably had his agent whispering in his ear you know, he was just probably completely isolated, because that's your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't... When you can't go to work every day and you don't see anybody.
You don't have Pochettino with his arm around
you.
And, you know.
But then also there's the whole old...
But then other players
say that.
Other
players are out long term and they don't behave like that.
And look, 3 days before the start of the season, if you're frustrated at not playing, if you're frustrated because you're injured, if you're struggling with the idea of this sort of more... isolated way, because he's never had a long-term injury,
I don't think
he's struggling with that, that's your interview is not when you've been out for what at the time 8 months. Your interview is not by some players that I've heard of, or, you know, and I'm paraphrasing,
and not to the Sun as well.
I'm paraphrasing, but at the timing of that interview should have the whole thing should have been this has been really frustrating. And then if you want to add a couple of bits on at the end about the club, but it's the whole thing. We've gone over it like loads of times before.
It
stunk at the time. It's horrible.
But it's great that Davis has stepped up, isn't it? Because it's just
been great.
Nice, gentle.
I mean, that's why it was so stupid of Rose, because surely you look at what has happened to the club under Pochettino. And like, unless you're Harry Kane or Hugo Lloris, like, no one is safe. There's always another person that Poch can turn to.
Especially a fullback, he's going to work on that position.
Absolutely. Or even if he's not got someone to turn to, he'd binned players when there's not been anyone there. And we've gone...
And then it hasn't mattered. He's found somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's either muddled through or he's just binned them off. And that's what he does.
You were worried about central midfield? It's fine, I have Eric Dyer.
He
was great yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, you're worried about central defence? It's fine, I have Eric Dyer.
Yeah. Good old Eric, hey.
Yeah.
So Son became our highest ever Premier League... Sorry, he became the highest ever Premier League goal scorer from South Korea. Scored his 20th, one more than Jason Park.
Yes.
Do you think we underrate Son?
No.
I mean... You can't argue with his goals. Like, how many goals did he score last season? Old comps over 20.
Yeah, he got about 22.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah. Mm.
But he's very frustrating sometimes. And he was yesterday.
Yeah. He's glorious very and ridiculous. Yeah. He just is what he is, isn't he? He's the player who will score a wonderful goal and then, but also lose the ball 20 times in really obvious and easy ways. Miss ridiculous sitters. Like all in the same
jump
game.
Out of challenges, jumping away.
And it doesn't matter what game,
that,
but also what I like about him in a way is that it doesn't seem to matter who the opposition is. It's like we can be playing absolute dross or Real Madrid and he'll be like, "This, I play how I play. I'm wonderful and terrible at the same time."
I guess as well, I mean, it says everything that we talk about his record last season. Yeah. Even this season, he's got himself, you know, a decent haul so far. And yet, you still wouldn't have him anywhere near the first... Well, you wouldn't have him in your first 11.
No, you wouldn't.
No, with the back five and with Eriksen, Ali and Kane, he has no position. He has no place there. He's just perfect for what he does, isn't he? He can come on and he can win you... I mean, he won us the game against Palace 2 years ago with his first Premier League goal.
I mean, do you remember the 3-2 against West Ham last season? Mm. And he was so terrible when he came on, but he also won us the game.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't put him in the first 11, but you're also never sorry to see him. So
Yeah, it is odd, isn't it? And again, if you were to ask me, who do you want in the... Would you have some playing in a North London derby tomorrow? If you asked me on the Friday before the game... I think every answer I give would be both wrong and right in equal measure. Like, you go, of course you play Son. He can get you a goal. He's pacey. He's the only one in our team that can get you, you know, up the pitch with one run and stuff. But then I remember him playing against Arsenal last season and jumping out of a challenge with Cech.
Oh, God, yeah.
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 So, yeah. Okay, fair enough. We don't underrate
it. It's a good finish, though.
It was a good finish. Yeah. And then, what, 10 minutes later, he's one-on-one and he sticks it in.
Messes it.
Side netting.
And again, 2 minutes after that.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it? Very odd. Okay. Well, we...
But well done, Son, anyway.
Yeah, regardless, mate. Another surprise at the start of the game was Vorm not being available. Too, so we turned to our third
just
choice.
Some
random bloke. Yeah.
Some really horrible looking dude. I don't
even
know.
He kind of looks like he's trying to impersonate the guy who used to play for Southampton, that Pella.
Oh, he's better looking than him, though.
Think?
Yeah, definitely. Pella is one of... See, we've had this discussion.
Yeah, he looks like Pella is like he should be good looking, but somehow he...
And men always
really
seem
work.
To think...
Men love Pella,
they love him,
they?
And it's like, so no, true. I don't see it.
Why should I not love...
You can love him if you like, of course, it's
but
all subjective.
Why am I wrong?
It's a bit like Chadley, it's the same Chadley. Everything Chadley's, why don't you fancy him? It's like, well...
It's just like objectively, I see what you're saying, but it just
doesn't have something.
Okay.
Gazzaniga's definitely better looking.
Like, whatever it is, Gazzaniga's just got it.
I think it's quite fortunate that he's got those looks, because, in my opinion, in a couple of years, the football career is not going to be all that. I don't.
I know.
I'm being very, very.
Debut? I mean, apart from his start, which was. Awful.
Yeah,
you can see the penalty straight away.
I was going to say, it could have been a penalty, right?
Yeah. Someone said that is quite cliched to say, but, you know, anywhere else on the pitch, that's a foul. But I honestly think anywhere on the street and that's an arrest. It was quite
straight
brutal.
Straight, yeah.
Yeah, it really sort of kicked him and punched him. And I was listening to the Totally Football Show before on my way home today. And I can't remember who was saying it, but somebody said that he did it. And it was almost one of those situations where the referee had gone, I've never seen a goalkeeper do that before, therefore it cannot be a penalty. Like, I've never seen somebody do this.
Flat at him.
Yeah, really, so I can't therefore give one, because if I give it, I'm going to look ridiculous if it's not. But it was odd, wasn't it? And it didn't inspire confidence. But three very, very, very,
very good
saves.
Yeah.
And we have to give him his due. The other hairy moment was him charging from goal.
Yeah.
Now, there's something...
Zahar just went round.
I mean, one of...
Which
gone.
I thankfully missed live, because otherwise I
that
would
was
have
a
had
moment.
That.
Yeah.
Definitely a moment. It went in slow motion at that point.
Well, there's part of me that, watching Spurs, when a ball goes through like that, the instinct... I was looking at the right of the screen the whole time thinking, Lloris is going to come out and just clear this in a minute, or do what Hugo does and probably control it and try and flick it over and well. But I was waiting for it. And when that ball went through, I knew there was a process in my mind of, okay, it's not Lloris. And it's not Vorm. And I thought, even Vorm knows to come out a little bit.
Now.
And when then you see him there, and then he's kind of standing still, and you go, oh, he's come and he's stopped. And then he sort of just falls to the side, and then Zaha puts it wide. It was... worried me a bit, but let's face it, he's a third choice goalkeeper, isn't he? So
he had a decent game, considering.
Yeah, maybe.
First game at Wembley as well. I mean, you know.
I mean, so much of that, though, is just, that's just the shit, like, you get when you're a team that is going to be relegated. Like, you know, you're up against a third choice goalkeeper that's and true. You still can't score a goal. Like,
yeah.
Is that's not our luck, that's their luck.
That's true as well.
Yeah, true. Do you think long term, I mean, I don't really know much about him, but do you think, because Vorm is now 32, 33, only ever gets to play cup games. Probably would have started, you know, yesterday, on Sunday. had he been fit. But clearly, there's a long term plan to probably make him number two, Gazzaniga.
Maybe.
How old is he?
25.
And he's from the same town as Poch, isn't he?
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So thank you, Murphy.
I genuinely would have rather big Tomi Jimenez in goal. I mean, which would have been, I'd have gone then. I'd have raced up to Wembley to watch that. That would have been amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, it could have been something very different.
Yeah, well, you'd have to think there's something more there than we've seen.
Yeah. But I saw him a couple of times at Southampton and he looked scared. He played against us a couple of years ago, yeah. I think.
We beat him 2-0. I read that.
Somewhere. Yes, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, and he every shot just looked... He looked like he made himself as small as possible.
I mean, he didn't look like that yesterday, to be fair.
No, yeah, I mean...
But then he had Dyer and Batonga and Sanchez effect, in front of him as well.
He can make... And I think goalkeeper's a weird one that Poch can't possibly have that much influence on him, apart from the whole when we've got the ball, make yourself available thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of his ability, I always think with goalkeepers, you can't learn that much, surely, after the age.
Right, he can't Poch him.
No, yeah. No. You can teach Danny Rose to be, you know, from Danny Rose of 2013 to now.
Mm. Yeah, and then. Don't you forget it, Danny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We remember.
Yeah, you know, so I suppose there's work to be done, and this is maybe just big Jimenez, big Tone.
Tone's project.
Maybe he's just dishing out the projects.
Yeah.
Fair. So this one's for you.
Yeah. Well, nice 1-0 win. I think we're 8 points behind City now. In terms of where this puts us in the league, are we going to have to beat City home and away, do you think, to have it to stand a chance in this?
Well, unless they start dropping games.
I feel like surely City have like a hilarious defeat to a rubbish team somewhere. Like, even this City.
Yeah.
Do you remember in the Leicester, and I hate to bring it up, but the Leicester season? In about March, where it felt like it doesn't matter what you do, they're just going to keep doing it. And it's felt like that with City now, in a way. It just feels like we can fight and fight tooth and nail, and then it's just not going to be enough because they're going to keep, because they've got that momentum. And I guess it's going to be the Christmas break that a lot of people are suggesting might define that. And we're very good over Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you remember last year against Chelsea, I think we got to within a point of them with our win over them at White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
And you do just think, like, that could be it. I think we go to the Etihad over December. 16th
of December,
I mean, who knows? Maybe that'll be the time where we might close it to 5 and then anything can happen over Christmas. But it feels like it's going to be a different team that we're chasing this season and a different team that we take the back seat to.
Because it got to a point where teams were rolling over for Leicester, definitely, for sure. Yeah. And with City, it's going to be more, their attack is so frightening.
Mm.
Their teams are going to be half beaten before they even go out there because they're going to be like, we can't defend against De Bruyne and both Silvers and Sané and like whoever. Ridiculous. And I mean, you know, they'll probably buy like 3 more attackers in January or whatever. So...
The only thing I'd say in response to that, though, is that the league is very odd this season in that there's a clear top six. The top six is top six.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought Everton would be seventh. It's going to be someone else, most likely.
I feel sorry for Everton, but it's also quite...
Oh, they're so Spurs, aren't they? It's so Tottenham. It's like if AVB went even worse that season.
God.
But nobody really... From 10 downwards... Nobody can call relegation. Even Palace. Mm. You're looking at how they played and how they've played since Hodgson took over. They might be off the pace, but nobody knows who's going down. And the further you get towards the end of the season, these games, and I know they're getting more difficult for everyone, but the more teams start to think, oh shit, we could be in trouble here. Yeah. The Stokes and West Ham and all this, who are in trouble. When it comes to playing City at home for them, who knows? There could be And I totally appreciate that we're going to be in the same position.
Mm.
But
we've had more practice.
In a way, yeah.
Playing those sorts of teams.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is where I weirdly find myself slightly concerned by the demise of West Brom, because you really feel like Tony Pulis is the man you can rely on to
cause an upset.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, it depends who... I mean, Allardyce needs to take someone over, really, doesn't he? Preferably someone we've already played. Don't know. But it's West Ham. Yeah. That would be amazing if they got him back.
Have they not? Moyes not definitely there now? Has that not been a...
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. But that's just... It's 3 points for everyone, really, isn't it? Yeah. It's just... Yeah, the league looks very different. The league, has, like, these sort of periods where, and it's defining, and City found that out last season. They raced into that lead and we beat them and they just fell apart, and they're a much better team than last season completely. Yeah. But it sort of splits into thirds, I think, and if they're coming out the back of the second third and not quite where they were, you never know. Yeah. I mean, I know we've done this to ourselves the last two seasons.
And as long as our injuries don't get worse, I guess.
I mean, the other thing to say as well is that obviously teams will be terrified of City's attack, but teams are terrified of Harry Kane.
As well, that's true. Good
quite
point.
Rightly as well. Yeah. I mean, we just don't know. We don't know how it's going to work. Okay, we've got a couple of questions. One from Jim at Stylish Riot, who's changed his name to Sissoko Motive Moscow, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, that's a good... Hi, Jim. That's great, Jim.
Hi, Jim. Jim has asked, is Ollie Lister a nightmare to live with? I'm sure most people know, but if people don't, Rosa and Ollie Lister of this parish, they are together because of this parish, I might add.
It's completely
surely.
True.
Surely.
Yep.
Your daughter's existence is purely down to this podcast, I'd say.
I wouldn't deny it.
Danny's still asking when the christening is and why he hasn't received his invite.
Oh, you know, we'll let you know.
Yeah. He's utterly convinced he's getting the Godfather role as well, I think.
I feel like Ollie's promised that to various people, so... Yeah.
Well, I'm the godmother, so
exactly.
That's quite right, actually, isn't it? And I think Harry Sherlock said, do you see him often laughing to himself about the jokes that he tells on Twitter?
Yeah, every single time. If when he doesn't test them on me first...
So, oh, no.
Like, I'm really sorry, everyone. Like, sometimes I do laugh in spite of myself. So some of those jokes are my fault. But also, like, I'm so tired all the time now that I can't be held accountable.
It's just hysteria. It's just mild hysteria permanently.
You've been gaslighted into believing that you're part of the problem. I don't think you are.
Okay, good.
I'm sure you're not.
Just at this point, I don't know.
Love.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
Fair to say, though, that Ollie is a good cook.
He's an excellent cook.
His plates make some awesome meals.
He hasn't done one for a while, though.
No, he hasn't.
No, that is because, like, a quick sidebar for super boring baby talk, but that is because our baby just likes to party all night, so there's just, like, no time.
She likes to what, party
all night? She likes to party all night, so...
Absolutely amazing.
When we get home, it's just, like, what is the most straightforward thing that you can cook? And then I'm going to bed.
I mean, it's fair to say that you are both raising the next generation of Tottenham fans, aren't you?
Yeah, doing our best, definitely.
How old is your two?
My eldest is 13 and my youngest is 9.
Right, so I mean, they're getting to an age now where it's not just sort of who your parents stick a t-shirt on, that's who you support. Well, they're getting a bit, you know,
my youngest particularly is a massive Spurs fan.
He's fully coy.
Yeah, he's fully. Yeah. I mean, Ben loves football as well and likes Spurs, but Samuel... plays
that's
and
the one to concentrate on.
So I mean, he knows all the, you know, he spots stuff and he knows all the stats and all that.
That is pretty cool. I remember being a bit of a sort of, you end up becoming, say, like, nerdy about it.
Yeah,
like, you just absorb facts about it, and for some reason, like, I will never forget Stephen Carr's own goal against Kaiserslautern when we went out in the UEFA Cup, because I saw it on teletext. I can tell you, like, the colours and what was on TV at the time, everything.
Stephen Carr, like, the original snake fullback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the prototype.
Off to Newcastle, wasn't it? Newcastle.
It was Newcastle.
Mm. To better his career. Quite.
Yeah, how'd that work out, Stephen?
Yeah.
And he had a good happens there anyway.
Yeah, that was an error.
I agree. Yeah. Wasn't happy with that. So we all grew up in sort of, when Spurs were mildly successful or had their successes, but we've all lived through that late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s in particular.
Some probably extremely lean time.
Exactly, exactly. Do you fear for your sort of influence over your children at all?
Well, no, I do try and remind them or tell them about the bad times, but they just know Harry Kane and Dele Alli, and you know.
That's it. I fear the other way, doesn't it? Because you just
they
think,
will get
What if they get completely spoiled?
And they become entitled fans like Man United fans, and you know.
Because this is sort of what happened to my dad, because he started supporting Spurs, and like a couple of years later they won the double.
Yeah.
So he was just like, "This is brilliant. Spurs are great." And then it was just like, you know, another 50 years of just like.
Exactly. So I do try and say it wasn't always like this.
And not even that long ago as well.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, I guess half their life.
Yeah, exactly. So they'll just have to ride it and.
I mean, who knows what it'll be like once Talia, my little girl, is going to be old enough to actually be aware. Like, we could have gone through the whole cycle again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
You know,
I mean, I'm hoping, obviously, that Poch turns out to be our Fergie and, you know, she'll be, like, 20 before things go horribly wrong. But...
By which stage, it's too late to... She'll be...
Exactly,
it.
She'll
too
be
late.
For every baby of the Pochettino era, there's been a baby of the Christian Gross era, hasn't there?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The thing to remember, really, isn't it? But, I mean...
Now's your time, Christian Gross babies!
Yeah. It's all for you, Christian Gross babies. You and your boys have been to Wembley, haven't they? Oh, did they go to White Hart Lane?
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's good.
Samuel's first game was the Leicester FA Cup a couple of seasons ago when Harry Kane scored his 50th goal for Spurs. So he'll never forget that. It was a penalty, but it doesn't matter.
Last minute, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was so excited. Never forget that.
Yeah.
And I've taken him to Wembley a couple of times, and the last time was for the Barnsley game. So they've earned their stripes in terms of going to games that are, you know.
They're actually
I've been a bit sad my baby won't get to go to White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
She'll go
to the new one, and that will be amazing.
There should be a statue outside for her, anyway, because she's, you know...
That's
the power
right.
behind.
Like
so
after she was born, like we didn't lose. Until the FA Cup semi-final,
which she wasn't bothered about the cups.
But she was. She's
like
Poch. She doesn't care about cups.
Yeah.
But I think there was also a period for a couple of weeks after she was born where like we didn't lose, and Arsenal didn't win or something hilarious as well. So that was a glorious period.
What a time! Yeah.
What time to be alive?
Exactly. Not for Christian Gross babies. All right, let's wrap this up because we've turned into like some mother's group, I'm afraid. I don't know if this happens.
Genuinely, nothing wrong with that.
That's a shame. That shattered the illusion. All right, well, both of you, thank you so much for coming down.
Pleasure.
Dan is, well, he'll be back. He's gone off because it's international break, which I think is not good enough.
Dirty, stinking
flouts.
Yeah.
So we probably won't be doing a pod next week, but we'll probably be back after the North London... Actually, no, we've got to do one before the North London Derby, haven't we?
Gosh, that's how
Yeah, you've
game,
got
isn't
to
it?
Get... Oh, God, the thing is, it doesn't matter, does it? Like, no matter how well we're doing, no matter what's happened, like, I think about the North London Derby, and I just want to, like, hide behind my sofa or, like, go to sleep until it's all over. Like,
I think it was probably the first season we did this, so Poch's second season. And I said to Dan, we weren't in good form, I don't think. And we were going to the Emirates. And I was like, I can't do it. And he was like, it's a derby. You know, all form goes out the window. And I fully, I endorse that. I'm absolutely on board with that. Until we're the ones in form.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no. Form stays exactly where it is and we win 3-0. That's it, I'm afraid. But we'll see. Actually, no, we've got to do a preview, I think.
But I will also, I'll never forget because we're all on the same WhatsApp group and I actually really remember a message that you sent once, which I think was it was the North London Derby at Emirates, either the last one or the one before, where you said, as a neutral, you could see that, you know, we're like snuffing out all of their chances and we're containing them really well. But like as a Spurs fan, it feels like they're holding a pillow over your face.
Yeah, it does. That is exactly what it is. Particularly recently when they've been crap as well.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You want to die for those 90 minutes.
It's been 1-1 3 years in a row, hasn't it?
Ugh, yes.
And we've got to do it. And we will do it.
We will.
All right, thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye. Bye.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.